Mark chapter 14, verse 32 to 40. Remember, this is the night of Jesus' betrayal. He has had the Lord's Supper, transformed the Passover meal into the Eucharist, the Holy Communion, Lord's Supper, Communion. And now they've left the upper room. They're going to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus wants to pray. He wants to be alone with his disciples and with his heavenly Father. Hear the word of our Lord. They came to an area called Gethsemane. Jesus told his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John with him. He plunged into a sinkhole of dreadful agony. He told them, "I feel bad enough right now to die. Stay here and keep vigil with me." Going a little ahead, he fell to the ground and prayed for a way out. "Papa, Father, you can't you, get me out of this? Take this cup away from me. But please, not what I want. What do you want?" He came and found them sound asleep. He said to Peter, "Simon, you went to sleep on me. Can't you stick it out with me a single hour? Stay alert. Be in prayer so that you don't enter the danger zone without even knowing it. Don't be naive. Part of you is eager, ready for anything in God, but another part is as lazy as an old dog sleeping by the fire." He then went back and prayed the same prayer. Returning again, he found them sound asleep. They simply couldn't keep their eyes open, and they didn't have a plausible excuse. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, have you ever been on a long road trip? Maybe you've driven that long road to Florida or North Carolina or out west somewhere, and you realize at some point that maybe you've gone just a little bit farther than you probably should have. Your eyes are getting kind of tired. Your reflexes aren't quite 100%. And you realize that you've started making probably some unwise decisions and choices in your driving. Maybe not quite focused enough on the road. I know I have. I've known when I've driven too long. And they say you're supposed to stop so many hours and whatnot. Even long-haul truckers are required to only drive certain amount of hours in a day's time or whatever. Or maybe you've been on a business trip. Maybe you've been away from home for an extended period of time, living in a motel or hotel. You've been to meetings or workshops or seminars all day, and you come back to your hotel room that night, and you're tired. The bed has been miserable. Those skimpy pillows that they put in the hotels have not been what you're used to at home. And then you start thinking, well, you know, it's time to start having some fun. And you entertain the idea of maybe walking down to the corner adult beverage establishment or some other place that you know you're not supposed to go to. Or maybe you dial up one of those pay-per-view movies in the motel room you know you're not supposed to be watching. You see, when we get tired on our journeys, when we get weak, when we're the most vulnerable, we open ourselves to something called temptation. Just like I shared with the kids here this morning. And when we're in that frame of mind, we tend to make some pretty unwise choices, don't we? Or we may do some things that may give us pleasure for a little while, but these same things can have devastating consequences. The question then becomes, how can we stay on the right path when we're tired, when we're distracted, when we're discouraged on our journey? And that's what I want to talk about today. And this message is for you young people too. This is what I want to talk about today, is how we can get refueled re-energized, rejuvenated, if you will, for the long journey to hope, so that we don't fall to temptation. Today's gospel lesson takes us to the Garden of Gethsemane in the Mount of Olives. I thought you might like to see your stained glass window in the sanctuary again. It's been a while since we've seen it, hasn't it? And Jesus, that is the scene of Jesus in the garden praying. And I've highlighted, circled, you can't see it very well in this photograph, but there are the picture of the three disciples asleep in the background. I don't know if you've ever noticed that or not, but when you see it in person, it's much clearer. This is the night that Jesus will be betrayed, the night that he will be taken away by the guards, the night in which he will be arrested and eventually crucified on the cross the next day. It's the last few hours of Jesus' life on earth. He's with his disciples. Like I said, he's just shared Holy Communion. He's shared the Lord's Supper. They've enjoyed a time together. They've sung some hymns. And now they've come to this place, this very special place, which is still there today. In fact, in our Bible study, the Wednesday morning students will remember that we talked about the Mount of Olives. And it's an olive grove. Some of the trees there are believed to have been there at the time of Jesus. One tree is believed to be 3,000 years old. It was there 1,000 years before Jesus came along. But this very special garden, this Garden of Olives, is where Jesus and his disciples went to pray. He tells them to wait in a certain spot, but he takes Peter, James, and John. Now, Peter, James, and John were his inner circle, if you will. Jesus had his inner circle, his buds, his favorite disciples. And he asks them to go a little further into the garden with him to pray. And he tells them to watch and pray, to just stay awake for a little while, maybe an hour, so that Jesus would not be alone, to pray for him, to pray with him, as he went on a little further to pray to God alone. Jesus is troubled in spirit at this time. Jesus is distraught. He is anguished over what's about to happen to him, because he knows in just a little while, Judas, one of his disciples, whose feet he had just washed, who he had just shared Holy Communion with just a few hours earlier, Judas would return with the guards to take Jesus away in chains. He is in such anguish that he just needs to have this time alone with God. And with Peter, James, and John supposedly watching and praying in the distance. Now, you got to realize what time it is when all this takes place. It may have been 1 o'clock in the morning. It could have been 2, could have been 3, could have been midnight. We don't know exactly. We know it was late, very late. They had had a long day, I'm sure. They had had a meal. They had a little wine. They were now with Jesus, and Jesus told them to be still and pray and watch with him. I don't know about you, but I know how I am at 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm almost comatose. I mean, I'm out. I'm in delta sleep. I can't imagine how hard it was, or I guess I can imagine how hard it was to stay awake with Jesus for an hour. I don't think I could stay awake 5 minutes. And yet Jesus is saying, watch with me, stay with me. In other words, Jesus wanted that prayer support. He wanted his friends with him. So Jesus goes off a little further away and he pours his heart out to God. This is his last chance. He cries out to God, "There must be another way, Daddy." And by the way, that's what Abba means in Aramaic, which is the language that Jesus spoke. Abba, not the rock group from the 70s. Okay? Abba means Papa. It's like calling your father Daddy or Papa. And he cries out to Papa, "You can get me out of this. All things are possible. Take this cup away," he's saying to God. But he ends that prayer with these words, "Not what I want, what you want. Let your will be done, Dad." Jesus could have run away. Jesus could have gotten on the next ship to Tarshish like Jonah had done when God called him to go preach to Nineveh. He could have given in to the voice that was whispering in his ear, "God doesn't really want you to die. Are you really the Son of God? Jesus, you're only 33. You've got your whole life ahead of you. Don't do it, Jesus. Don't do it." But Jesus recognizes that voice. Oh, it's a familiar voice. He's heard this voice before. You'll recall the voice that spoke to him in the desert just 3 years prior, when Jesus had come up out of the river Jordan, been baptized, the Holy Spirit descended on him. Where did Jesus go? He was sent into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And there the devil tempted him. The same voice that whispered these things, whispered to him 3 years earlier, "You can turn these stones into bread and fill your belly with good things." But Jesus resisted. It's the same voice that said, "You can jump off the pinnacle of the temple because you know that God's going to send 10,000 angels to catch you." It's the same voice that said, "Look at all the riches of the world, all the kingdoms of the world. They can be yours if you'll just bow down and worship me." But Jesus resisted. Jesus would have none of this, for this was not part of God's plan. So he goes back to his friends to check on them, to see if they're still praying. Lo and behold, they're fast asleep. He has to go wake them up. "Can't you stay awake for me for just 1 hour?" Not once, not twice, but three times he has to do this. But then it's too late. The betrayer has arrived with his entourage, with the guards from the temple. And Jesus was facing the most important decision of his life. And what was he doing? He was praying. He was in prayer. He reverts to what he knows best, prayer. He submits to God's will in tears. And in one translation it says he cried tears of blood. His eyes were so strained that it probably burst the blood vessels in his tear ducts. And yet, in the end, he puts God's will above his own. "Not my will be done," Jesus says, "but thine."